Voters will soon pick the leader of one of our state's largest cities, St. Petersburg. How that race is shaping up and what's at stake in its outcome. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham. It's been called the highest-profile mayoral race in the city's history. St. Petersburg, a thriving center of arts and culture, home of the Tampa Bay Rays, and a once-and-future iconic pier, but also troubled neighborhoods, failing schools, and bad plumbing. The next mayor will have a lot of work to do. The current mayor, Rick Kreisman, wants the job, but so does former Mayor Rick Baker, who was in the office from 2001 to 2010. Here in the studio, we'll get some perspective and political expertise from William March, a longtime political journalist in the Tampa Bay area, and Peter Schorsch, publisher of St. Peter's Blog, among other new media outlets, and a political consultant. Thanks both for being here.
Nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So, William March, give us an idea of what these two men are like, a quick abridged bio of these candidates.
Well, Rick Baker is a former mayor, longtime businessman, a moderate Republican, who's been very devoted throughout his life and his career to the city of St. Petersburg. Kreisman is a former city councilman, former state legislator, somewhat more oriented toward partisan politics in his past career than perhaps Baker was, because he's held partisan office.
Well, there's a few big issues that they have been jockeying over. Number one, maybe, is sewage. There have been problems with St. Petersburg during last year's rainy season. The sewage treatment facilities just couldn't keep up, and millions of gallons of sewage were released. So here's an ad that Rick Baker's campaign ran.
And a sludgy mix of raw sewage and rainwater has contaminated parts of Tampa Bay.
St. Pete Mayor Rick Kreisman is dodging questions.
Nearly 200 million gallons of sewage was dumped into our bay and neighborhoods after Rick Kreisman closed the Albert Witted treatment plant, threatened our water and our health. Kreisman lied.
So, Peter Schorsch, is sewage Rick Kreisman's Achilles heel?
It is. I mean, and let's go back and give a shout out to Adam Goodman, the consultant there, his evil voice in that television ad. It's become his Achilles heel because if the incident doesn't happen, Rick Baker doesn't run for a third term. He was on the fence about running. The 200 millions got dumped into the Tampa Bay. And Rick Baker, at that point, he didn't exactly agree with Kreisman's worldview, but he was comfortable in the private sector. That presented the crisis that opened the door for Rick Baker to come in. Kreisman could beat anybody in St. Pete except for Rick Baker.
What if there are no more problems with sewage until the election? Is it possible the voters could forget about it?
One thing that has to happen for that to come true would be for Kreisman to survive the first round of voting August 29th.
Yeah, let's explain what's going on here with
Well, the first round of voting on August 29th is essentially a primary that will winnow the field down to two. The question is whether if any candidate gets 50% or more, then that candidate wins on August 29th. If no candidate reaches 50%, then there's a follow-up or general election or runoff election in November.
So we're talking about Rick Kreisman and Rick Baker, but there's five other people that have filed to run, and they'll all get a few votes. So that could affect the math of one of them getting more than 50% of the vote.
None of them is really a serious candidate, and one of those other five has been disqualified, if I've got my numbers correct. This comparative lack of candidates competing with the main two increases the possibility that one of those main two, most likely Baker, would get a majority in the first round and that the election would not go until November. Again, Kreisman, who has been behind, but according to at least some polls, moving up on Baker, needs the race to extend to November if possible.
And the whole key right now is ballots are out. At this point, 65,000 ballots have gone out to early voters. And we just saw two special elections down in Miami. 80% of the vote there came in before Election Day. The trend had been going, obviously, to early voting. I would expect 75% of the St. Pete election to be cast before August 29th.
So obviously they both would like to keep the Tampa Bay Rays at Tropicana Field, I'm assuming.
I wouldn't go so far. Yes, Kreisman has a plan for that, but I don't necessarily think that Baker is locked into Tropicana Field. I think Baker might actually want to see that area redeveloped and give the Rays options within the city of St. Pete. So I don't think that he's locked in there. I think Kreisman has said that he would definitely want the 80 acres redeveloped and the Rays there, but he's open to keep it in St. Pete as well.
At the same time, though, I think that Baker, in the past at least, has been more a little bit harder line on wanting to keep the Rays in St. Petersburg, in Pinellas County, whereas Kreisman has been somewhat more open toward a movement to anywhere in the immediate Tampa Bay area. Is that right, or would you agree with that,
Peter? I'd agree with that. I think Baker's probably more interested in getting the soccer team he had worked on during the spring than he really is keeping the Rays at this point.
I read that the Rays owner and team president are donating to Kreisman's campaign. I was wondering why that was.
Well, Kreisman pushed through city council, and he takes credit for breaking up the logjam. The Rays wanted to look beyond St. Petersburg. Their contract said no. They convinced the city council to amend the memo of understanding between the city and the team. And now the Rays can go and look in other places throughout the community. The Rays have come back and said, none of the places are really good. We may be staying in St. Pete. And I think, I don't want to say it's a quid pro quo, but I think the Rays are more in line with Kreisman.
So Baker and Kreisman also have some major donors in Hillsborough County. And I was wondering, what is the interest in this race in St. Petersburg beyond St. Petersburg? Why do people in other cities care?
Well, this has become a major partisan battle, Democratic versus Republican battle. Now, obviously, it is a nonpartisan office. You're not even allowed to run as a Democrat or a Republican. But mayor's offices in big cities have become major positions on the bench, if you will, for recruiting for future statewide or higher level candidates. So to the Democrats, it's very important to hold a mayor's office in St. Petersburg. If you look at, for example, Rick Baker's campaign finance reports, you'll see a huge part of his money, and he's raised an incredible amount of money, comes from Republican legislative leaders, Republican political party leaders. Kreisman is equally getting money from Democrats. In fact, there have been fundraisers held in Tampa by Tampa Republicans and Tampa Democrats for both of these candidates.
Now, Rick Baker accuses Rick Kreisman of partisanship, though, and for being too involved in national Democratic issues, and says he's a local guy and he focuses on local issues. Here's an exchange from their recent debate hosted by Bay News 9 and the Tampa Bay Times.
I wish Mayor Kreisman could get off the partisanship and the attempt to make this a national election when this is about the future of St. Pete. If he did that, we probably wouldn't be dumping
quickly,
200 million gallons in the bank.
Well, and it's ironic that I'm being accused of partisanship when the majority of your money is coming from the Republican Party. Look, being mayor is not a partisan job. Fixing potholes is not partisan. But your party represents your values. And my values are against the repeal of Obamacare and the more than 10,000 people in the city of St. Petersburg who are going to lose their insurance coverage. So yeah, I'm paying attention to what's happening in Washington, and I'm paying attention to what's happening in Tallahassee, because those are our citizens in this city who are going to be impacted. And I'm going to always continue to speak out if I see something going on in Washington and Tallahassee that will negatively impact the citizens of this community.
First of all, I have to correct something here. He said the majority of my money came from the Republican Party. Not $1. Well, the money I've gotten has come from the Republican Party. The other parties have come in to help him. Not $1 has come from the Republican Party in my campaign. I wish you would quit saying that, because it's simply not true. And my values don't come from a party. My values come from my faith. My values come from my experience, my education, and from the people of this city.
So William March, he said he didn't take $1 from the Republican Party.
Well, no, it would be illegal for the Republican Party at any of its levels to donate money to his nonpartisan campaign. However, a large proportion of his money has come from leadership PACs set up by Republican legislative leaders and other independent political committees.
But I think still the charge of partisanship is more often leveled against Rick Kreisman. From what I gather, Peter, is this being so closely identified with the Democratic Party, will that help Kreisman or hurt him?
I don't want to let Rick Baker off the hook because he is a diehard partisan also. I mean, this is a guy that campaigned fervently for Jeb Bush. He's campaigned for Herman Cain when he endorsed him for president, which was
so
one
maybe
of the,
he's just making his point better.
I
about
think that there is a fervency of Christman's partisanship that I think turns people off. The not inviting Donald Trump to the city of St. Petersburg. Nobody minds that he identifies with the Democratic Party. I think people, he constantly politicizes things. And quite honestly, the city of St. Petersburg is not used to that. We are not used to the Bob Buckhorn, big city Democratic mayor style yet. This is the first time that it's really been that way. And remember, St. Pete has only had a strong mayor system for less than 20 years. But it's coming front and center in this election.
And I would add that Christman has held partisan office. Before he came into the mayor's office, he was in a partisan office as a Democratic legislator. So he got more accustomed to the partisan style of politicking. Baker has never held a partisan office, even though he has been, as you pointed out, heavily involved in partisan politics.
So the idea of keeping the focus on local issues rather than getting involved in national controversies like healthcare, like national healthcare, is that going to be something the voters in St. Petersburg ultimately care about or not?
Well, I think they do. I think that, you know, not to go to Tip O'Neill, that all politics is local, but I think you've got people that are very active. When you do the Trump transgender ban, that's going to activate the increasingly vocal gay community in St. Petersburg. And so I think both flow up and down to each other. I think what Christman is trying to do is he's got a partisan advantage in St. Petersburg. It's still a heavily Democratic town. Where Rick Baker makes up the gap is he's able to steal black votes away. The only reason why a Republican like Rick Baker is able to win is just as he has in previous elections, he's beating Rick Christman with the black vote. So it doesn't make sense. That's what's so interesting about this race is the contradictions like that, that it is partisan, but a guy like Rick Baker, a staunch Republican, is polling maybe 10 or 15 points ahead of the staunch Obama-supporting Democrat with black voters.
I'm Robin Sessingham, and you're listening to Florida Matters. We're talking about the St. Petersburg mayoral race. Our guests are William March, a longtime political journalist in the Tampa Bay area, and Peter Schorsch, best known as the publisher of St. Peter's Blog and a political consultant. We'll be right back. This is Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sessingham, and we're talking about the mayoral race in St. Petersburg with William March, political journalist, and Peter Schorsch, publisher of St. Peter's Blog and a political consultant. So the political voices of the gay community have come out strongly in favor of Mayor Rick Christman. This is partly because when Rick Baker was in office, he did not march in the gay pride parade, apparently, and he didn't issue a proclamation about the parade. This has caused controversy, and I'm wondering if there's a lot of division over this issue in St. Petersburg. How hot a topic is this going to be for Rick Baker?
I think this is, and this is an area, and I've said before, Rick Baker is a mentor, but this is where he and I very much diverge. It's not just that he didn't march in a parade. I think he holds some antiquated views about the LGBTQ community. And yet, it's been interesting because I'm watching my friend really struggle because his views are evolving. And I think he knows that he would march in a parade now. I don't know if he would sign a proclamation. And I think he also sees the incredible contributions that the gay community have made to much of St. Petersburg. And so I don't want to say it's a divisive issue in St. Petersburg because I think that by and large, I mean, we're not a religiously fervent Deep South community. We're very progressive. I think this is one of the issues where Rick Baker is on the wrong side of history, and it's going to cost him in the election. He talks a lot about wanting a seamless city. That's the name of his book. And one of the seams that is torn apart is him with the gay community.
I think there's no question that this is an issue where Baker's views are closely connected to those of the Republican base. And it's an issue that if he evolves too much, as Peter suggested he's evolving, but if he evolves, it could cost him some votes from the right wing of the spectrum.
I don't understand Christman's campaigning to the gay community, though. He has that vote locked up. It's baked in the cake. I would have positioned him differently, and I guess I would have had him run more to the middle. I think one of the failings of the Christman campaign at the end of the day will be it has talked a lot about gay rights issues and climate change. And it's not that those issues aren't important. I just don't think that they get them any new votes come August.
Well, I think that you're making a good point, but I think that what Kreisman is after is he's trying to take advantage of the sort of groundswell of grassroots enthusiasm mm-hmm. and excitement mm-hmm. that's coming up as a backlash against the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm. And link Baker maybe with Trump, which I haven't really seen work so far.
I don't think, I mean, other than that they're both Republicans, I really don't think there are two more opposite Republicans than Donald Trump and Rick Baker.
Yeah. Donald Trump and David Jolly, maybe.
Yeah. It's a Pinellas brand of Republican. It's David
exactly.
Jolly, it's Jack Latvala, mm-hmm. it's Rick Baker. You know, there's one place that Donald Trump has never, I don't think Trump's come here. You know, he's come to Tampa, he's come to the Villages. If there's one red line where he really hasn't crossed, it's Pinellas County.
I don't think Trump would want to make an appearance in St. Petersburg.
No, I don't think so.
So, Peter, you mentioned the all-important African-American vote and that Rick Baker really needs to get that vote to win. Midtown is the center of the black community in St. Petersburg, and the revitalization of Midtown is a major issue for St. Pete. Here's a clip from the Bay News 9 Tampa Bay Times debate.
Instead of spending our time and our effort creating economic development the way Mr. Baker proposes, which was by appearance, I've suggested we need to do it by investing in the people. Because if the people don't have the money to spend in the grocery store, if they don't have the money to invest and deposit in those banks, those things aren't going to stay there, and they're not going to be sustainable for the long term. So whatever we do going forward, and that's why we're taking our time on moving forward, we want to make sure that we get it right. We don't want to do to this community what's been done to it over and over again, where something's in there for 1 or 2 years, it's gone.
And here's Rick Baker's response.
The resources were part of what we focused on. Yes, we brought a grocery store. We bought a bank. We bought a clinic. We bought a Job Corps. We brought a lot of things into that part of the community that have since gone away. We've lost the Manhattan Casino under Mayor Kreisman. We've lost the Walmart grocery store. We've lost the Walgreens under Mayor Kreisman during that period of time. I think we need to focus on doing both, having the resources there and the opportunities for the people in the community.
So how has Midtown fared under Rick Kreisman? Peter, go ahead.
It is tough to be black in St. Petersburg. There's just no other way to put it. It doesn't have the cultural institutions that an Atlanta or another deep south city has. There isn't a lot of jobs there. There's not a lot of economic engine to drive growth there. And while the rest of the city, Beach Drive, is glitzy and so forth, over the last 4 years, it has felt like they have not been part of the progress. And that is coming home to roost, I think, for Kreisman at this point. But it's systematic also. I mean, it's been going on. Let's not forget, St. Pete had riots in 96 that we really still have not. You know, we talk about the Uhurus are a big force in this election, or they're making a lot of noise at least. Well, they've been a part of this dialogue for, you know, going on 2 or 3 generations now.
Well, I think the advantages that Baker has are at least in part because of symbolic efforts that might not drastically change the community but impress the people there. He goes there a lot. Mm-hmm. He goes to black churches. He simply visits a lot there and makes himself seen. This impresses people. The two guys, however, are taking a different philosophical approach to the extremely difficult problem of how do you redevelop and improve a depressed community. Rick Baker's view is to plant something, a store, a clinic. Kreisman's view is that you make the soil more fertile by improving quality of life and government services. Well, neither one of those things probably works by itself. You probably have to do some combination of both.
I think it was working out. I think that the 8 years with Baker, I think there was a grocery store. There is not one now. I couldn't even imagine what that must be like living in a food desert like that. It's not just Rick Kreisman, though. I think it's Bill Foster neglected the black community as well. And there has been basically 8 years of neglect into the Midtown community.
Kreisman has a harder road of it because his track record is right now. You know, so people can look at the sewage spill, the pier, which we're going to get to right now, is not built. They're lost stores and businesses in Midtown. So it's sort of hard for him to justify these problems right now, whereas it seems like Rick Baker has an easier time of it since he hasn't been in office for a while.
Well, again, I think this goes back at least in part to the two men's backgrounds. Keep in mind, Kreisman has been a city council member and a state legislator. He's been, in other words, a legislator. This is his first time as an executive. His first instinct in regard to the sewage crisis was to say, who else besides himself was to blame?
I mean, we're making St. Petersburg sound like Flint or Youngstown when it's really not. I mean, it is one of the most beautiful cities in the country. I mean, it's on the New York Times must visit list, et cetera, which is that must tell you something about the situation with Christman. How can you be losing if there are cranes everywhere you look in downtown?
Oddly enough, Baker seems to be, in his campaign, painting a picture of St. Petersburg as a pretty dismal place, and it's not. I think Adam Smith reported in the Times recently that during the debate, Baker painted a picture of St. Petersburg as a toxic waste dump with vultures circling overhead and zombies roaming the streets. Well, you know, it's not that.
No, it hasn't seemed like it. But I miss the pier, and there have been a few bumps in the road with St. Petersburg's new pier. Here's how Rick Baker is using that issue.
He promised that by 2015 he'd have a pier done, and we'd all be there enjoying it right now, right? Anybody been out there lately? 2 years later, we have a hole in the water.
So Rick Kreisman responds, it will be built by the end of next year, and it will be built to last. But is the pier issue, the problems with the new pier and people criticizing the design and the time it's taking and the expense, is this going to hurt Rick Kreisman?
It is going to hurt him. I mean, it is a big glaring hole in downtown, and I'm not a pier guy. I think it's addition by subtraction because, you know, you've got all these other things going on there. But I think it is... you know, you look at the budget overrun and Baker's able to hit him on that. You look on the timeline and Baker's able to hit him on that. You look at the process where Kreisman basically pushed for a pier design that was not supported by the public. But that being said, I think this is a little bit of Baker's fault, because remember, this whole process started with Baker in office. And the pier was a stepchild that he really didn't care about at the time. And he didn't prioritize it during his time in office. It's easy to say now that Kreisman isn't doing X, Y, and Z, but these problems started 10 years ago with the pier.
Yeah, I think this is at least one more example of Kreisman being the guy in the chicken coop when the chickens come home to roost. And I personally question the value of the pier. My guess is when you look at what else is going on in downtown St. Pete, it's probably not worth the money it's going to cost. But because it was there for so long and so iconic, people think there's supposed to be a pier there. Baker can stand up and say, there's a hole in the water. Well, you know, if the same thing existed in Tampa, nobody would consider it a hole in anything.
Did anyone make that argument, though, when they were discussing whether to build a new pier or not?
There were some people who thought that we shouldn't spend as much on it as we're going to spend on it. It's also it's a subtle issue that divides them that plays in the black community. Spa Beach is where African Americans got to go during segregation, and it is closed down. And it is one of the things that doesn't percolate up, but it's something that I hear having candidates and clients down there, that closing off the pier, which is the one place that black St. Petersburg could go to, that they couldn't afford the ritzy restaurants along Beach Drive, that they didn't get to stay at the Vinoy, but they got to go to the pier. And it was taken away. And it's a little subtle thing that plays heavily in the black community.
So this seems to have ripple effects. That's what I was going to ask you both. Why should people outside of St. Petersburg care about this race? But it does seem to have some ripple effects. Peter?
There was a great article in the Associated Press this week talking about how the city halls were the last frontier for conservatives, that there's been 1,000 seats gained in state legislatures since the Affordable Care Act was passed.
By conservatives.
The last bastion of old school big government Democrats is city halls. And that's why Rick Baker's victory would be symbolically a big deal to the entire national conservative movement.
That's very much true. It is a big deal. And again, the city halls are also the place where the Democrats can reliably get a bench of political office holders to serve as candidates for future partisan offices. And what is happening in St. Petersburg in this mayoral race is that it's taking the city to a totally new level of spending and of partisan involvement and of regional or statewide interest in its mayoral race. It's very likely that both candidates will go to close to or over $1 million in spending, even if the race doesn't go to November. If it does go to November, I think it's almost certain that they'll both spend $1 million. And a lot of that money is going to come from partisan interests outside of the city. Now, that's a benchmark, $1 million on a mayoral campaign that certainly never happened in St. Petersburg. It hasn't even happened in Tampa, which is a larger city. So the spending, the intensity of the campaigning, and the regional and state and even national interest are new for St. Petersburg for a mayor's race.
I assume you both watched the mayoral debate. So it's always fun to score debate. Who do you think won that debate, Peter?
Going into it, I think Rick Reisman needed to catch up. Baker is right now at about 52 to 54% when the election's done. Reisman has to get him under 50% and reload to November. I think neither one of them won. I thought Rick Baker looked angry on TV at some times. I think the expectations game set a higher bar for Reisman, which he did not necessarily meet.
To the extent that a stalemate is a win for Baker, I think Baker won. I think Reisman did some things, made some points that he's been needing to make, the point of identifying Baker with national Republicans, the point of accepting some responsibility for the sewage crisis, but pointing out that what's happening now is simply the results of 20 years of neglect that began long before he became mayor. These were all strong points in his favor. I think Baker sounded and looked a little better.
And going into it, let's not forget that the Tampa Bay Times had reported two blockbuster stories laying the blame for the sewage crisis at the feet of the Reisman administration. They put a little bit of, by the way, you guys haven't been spending a lot of money, but what Reisman needed was a report that said this is 20 years of neglect. Instead, the lead on that story by Mark Puente and Charlie Frago was Reisman's to blame.
And there was another story in the Times just Friday morning that the results of the sewage crisis now is going to be higher sewage bills for the citizens. Now, they're not going to be hugely higher, but again, it's big-time mailer fodder
right
for the Baker campaign.
Thank you both so much. That is all we have time for today. I'd like to thank my guests, William March, a longtime political journalist in the Tampa Bay area, and Peter Schorsch, a political consultant and publisher of St. Peter's Blog and other new media outlets. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the St. Pete mayoral race, and how might the outcome impact the broader Tampa Bay area? Share your questions and comments with us on our Facebook page or email floridamatters@wusf.org. You can find more coverage on the upcoming election on our website, wusfnews.org. Florida Matters is produced by Stephanie Colombini. Our engineer is Craig George. Our show is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.